thank God for godly fathers. There's two things that I believe have led to the moral decay in America today is, and one of them is preachers. You have preachers that just are worried about this, that, and the other, and they're not concerned about the health and welfare of the spiritual person that you brought in here this morning. We see the physical portion, but there's a spiritual portion. And what you believe, what you grasp, what you hold on to will either deliver or it will hurt you. It will be sorrow, bring sorrow into your life. So the first thing is the preachers. We need preachers that are not nervous about what the church is going to do with them if they preach the truth, because Jesus said to preach the truth, period. So that's all there is to it. But then the next thing is the reason the church is what it is because of families and because of the leadership of those families. You always have the story about I preach messages on husbands love your wife. I preach messages on wives submit to your own husband. And the submitting part is the church, pictures the church, and the church is to submit ourselves to the Father, the Lord Jesus, who loves us. And same principle applies to the family. The man is the responsible party. And I know that a lot of times we don't like to hear that, but it's still the truth. And I'll show you in the Word of God this morning where God says that. God has a governmental system. I hate to dirty up the word of the Bible about government, but actually God has established government for us. And He wants us to follow that principle. There's only three major doctrines in the Bible that lead to all others. Okay, and those doctrines are, because of the family, is first of all the husband is to love his wife. The second one is the wife is to submit her to her own husband. You know, a lot of women would submit to anybody and everybody, but they don't submit to their own husband. You mean you want me to listen to what that moron has to say? I had a lady tell me that one time. And after I got through preaching on wife submit, she came to me and she said, "That moron, he can't kill a fly good enough or right." I said, "Lady, good grief. That's not my principle. This is not my principles." You may not like this morning that I'm going to talk about this, but it is the principles of the God of the Word of God. And a sovereign God has established this book and given us this book. So the wife is to submit, the husband to love, the wife is to submit. And I'm putting in that order because that God wants us to see that He has a chain of command. Okay? Now, when I was in the military, I did not go into my general and say, "Look, I need to talk with you." He had an open door policy, but I had to go through the sergeant, I had to go through the lieutenant, I had to go through the captain, I had to go through all those guys to get to him, to the commander. But I could get access to the commander, but he had to do it the right way. Okay, so you have to keep that in mind. God established this. And then children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. If you kids want to live a long life, honor your father and your mother. It doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they do. You have to honor your father and your mother, not because Billy Bartle said so, but God said so. Okay, so if you want to live a long life, you want to have a successful life, you want to have all these things, then you honor your father and your mother. Your mother may be a drunk. Are you listening to me? You still honor your mother. She brought you into this world. Okay? You could be any number of things wrong with people. I know we live in a dope-ridden age. And your parents may take dope, may deal with dope. Okay? But that doesn't make the Scripture any less what it's supposed to be, that we're still honor our father and our mother. And I'll use this example. My mother gave me many examples. Some of them were not very good, but I still honored my mother. As long as she lived, I honored my mother. And I learned from the mistakes that she made to help me in my life. Amen. Now, you can take that for however you want to. Brother Billy talks about his mother. I talk about my wife. I talk about my children. I'll hit him a lick today. Amen. He deserves it. You know, you say, why? Why does he deserve it? Because of the experiences that he has experienced. Could help some young man in here today. And if that's possible, then I'll use him anytime. Doesn't make any difference. I'll use you. Amen. If you have a good example of what God will do in your heart and life if you'll be obedient to Him. So the second thing is that we have families that are completely deteriorated. Completely deteriorated. It snowed in Milano years ago for about a week. Is that right, Steve? Something like that. It seemed like it was about a week. Everything froze solid. All the tanks were froze over. And it was snowing. And we stayed around the house, and Gloria kept giving us, change the light bulbs, do this, paint this, do that. So I said, let's go fishing.
He said, "Dad," I said, "let's go fishing, man. We don't have any fishing equipment. We took string off of round bales of hay, tied them together, and made us a trot line in a stock pond in the back of the house. The pond was froze over solid. You say, how'd you put the trot line in? We got in the boat, we rocked the boat like this and broke us a trail through there and put our trot line out. And the next morning we came down and caught two great, big old huge, what were they? They were catfish, but they were whatever, a certain type of catfish. Channel cat, that's what it was, channel cat, amen. And that experience was something that we can remember all the details to it. We caught one big fish on the first hook on one side, and we was going. And it was hard work breaking that ice and getting across that tank. And so he said, "Good grief! We went all the way across that tank. There was one hook left. One hook left on the other side. It was only about 3 foot from the bank." And he said, "Ain't no sense in going on over there, is it, Dad?" I said, "Well, yeah. There was one on the first hook over here, and we went on, and sure enough, there was another one there on that hook. It's almost identical to the size of this other huge." Nice catfish. That experience we have, and we'll always have it. Now, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say this is Father's Day. There's a lot of fathers do not know their sons nor their daughters in a special relationship that you can have if you'll only apply yourself. I am thankful for Christian fathers. Praise God for Christian fathers who realize that not only those that pray together stay together, but those that play together, stay together. Amen. And I want to say this because whether you like it or not, Tyler, you're going to be responsible. Okay? I mean, that's just the way it is. And somebody says, "Well, I don't like that. I don't like being mashed into that bowl." I don't care if you like it or not. You see, this is not my concept. It's his concept. If you want to be successful in this life, in every facet of this life, then put your faith and trust in Christ. That means that you have to abide by the Word of God and what it teaches and what it shows. Amen. And if you'll do that, God will do great and mighty things in our midst. If you'll notice now in Joshua chapter 24, and I'm going to read verse 15, and then I'm going to go back to Genesis, and I'm going to show you something there also. But notice what chapter 24, verse 15 said. "And if it seem evil unto you," now he's talking about abiding by God's word. He's talking about the children of Israel. And this whole chapter, that's what he's talking about. And he said, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve." Now, you can either make one or two decisions in our day and time. One of two. You're either going to go with God or you're not. Somebody said, "Well, I really felt convicted this morning. God wanted me to come to the altar and pray," or something like this. Or "God wanted me to get saved," or something like this. But I'm going to do it later. Then what you said was no. You don't have any guarantee that you'll live past dinner. Okay? You have no guarantee. People die of heart attacks just quick. You don't have any. I told somebody this morning about somebody I knew who died at 23 years of age with a massive heart attack. Everything was fine. All the things was going well. Died of at the age of 23. I don't know how many people died yesterday, but a multitude did. You have no hope of anything outside of Christ. Life consists of your association with the Lord Jesus Christ or the non-existence of your association with Jesus Christ. Everything hinges on that. Okay? And you say, "Well, I don't believe that." I told about a young man that we talked to at Walmart. We've talked to him several times. "I don't want to hear it. Religion is rotten." It is. The Bible teaches us to lose our religion. That's what it's telling you. Who was the people in the New Testament that Jesus was preaching to and pointing his finger at? It was a religious crowd. It wasn't the old harlot. It wasn't the people that was often in obvious sin. He beckoned them to come unto him, and most of them did. Most of them know that they're evil, wicked. But not the religious crowd. We pay our tithes, we do this, we do that, we do that, and that does not impress God whatsoever. Because you're supposed to do that anyhow. Okay, so listen to what it says. "This day whom you will serve, rather it be the gods of your fathers, serve that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me," now in the Psalms, in the Proverbs, and in Joshua, you're going to find this phrase, as for me. As for me. Now listen to what it says. Listen to what it says. As for me and my house, we, circle that word we, will serve the Lord. Now when a teenage boy gets to about 14, 15, somewhere along in that neighborhood, and he goes to spreading his wings a little bit, and he thinks he's cocky and so on and so forth, as long as he parks his legs under my table, he's under my authority. Now Stephen's under his own authority. Now he has to apply the same principle in his family and his life. But when he was at my house, I told him, son, as long as you're here, you will abide by my command. That's what he was saying here. But it's for me and my house, we. That means me and Steve. That's what that means. Okay. Now Steve is the kind of person, even though there's a few, he is the kind of person that he still and we still have that relationship. Okay? He's talking about leading the singing and taking care of some stuff and doing some stuff like that. Thank God. I know y'all appreciate him doing that. He said, I make mistakes. I do. Well, I'm thankful that he's doing that. Amen. Praise God for that. He can make all the mistakes he wants as long as he corrects them. Okay? But here's what he said. How are we going to do this? Or what do you want to do here? I said, just go ahead and do the job. If I don't like what you're doing, I'll tell you. Okay? And that's a relationship because I trust him. I trust him. I trust his love of God more than I trust his ability. Okay? It's not the ability that you have. It's the availability. I've seen a lady who used to come to our church. She always have her songbook under her arm when she come to church. She wanted somebody to ask her to sing. You ask her to sing, oh, I'm not prepared. Why are you toting that stinking songbook around then? Why did you do that? Why are you come here like this? God's not interested in your ability. He's interested in your availability. And when you do that, then God's going to do great and mighty things. So with that being said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. I mean, that's what Joshua was saying. And by the way, Joshua died shortly thereafter. Now, if you turn back in your Bibles, and I want you to see this for yourself. I don't want you to take my word for it. You'll have to read the whole chapter 18 of Genesis. But we're not going to do that. We're going to go from, let's just read verse 19, okay? Verse 19 says, for I know him. In other words, right before this, he was saying, should I keep this from Abraham? What he was going to do is destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, should I keep this from Abraham? Now watch what he says here. I know him, and God knows you, okay? Men, God knows you. That he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. So God is using your will to accomplish his will in your life. God is saying to you, if you will apply the principles of this book, you cannot lose. I don't know if this is very reverent or not, but you can't lose with the stuff we got. Amen? You just can't do that. I don't know if it's irreverent. If it is, I apologize. I'm sorry. But what God has put in his word, watch me, is eternal. You're not going to change. We have men today who are stay-at-home. They're stay-at-home moms. The men are. And if I was that, I surely wouldn't tell anybody. I'd hide it. Because why? The man is the provider of the family. Now, he's not only the provider of the family spiritually, and most importantly, he is spiritually the provider, but he is also the provider physically. Okay, he's to take care of those physical needs. He cannot take care of a baby as good as mama can. Hello? It's not going to happen. It can't happen because God made women in a special way, and he made men in a special way. And he established all of these principles that we're talking about right now for the good and the edification of the family and the church. We don't have good churches unless we have good families. So get your act together at home. Amen. I told this story years ago. We had a big argument at home. It was over our oldest boy. I told him he'd sing a special at church that Sunday. And he said, Dad, I can't do it. And I said, oh, yes, you can. Just get your guitar out and just practice and get ready because we're going to church and you will sing. And so he is practicing with his guitar, and he broke a string. Well, I can't do it now, and I think he did it on purpose. That was Dwayne, right? Amen. So I said, in that guitar box, I have bought you other strings. Now you get another string out, put it on the guitar, you are going to sing at church. And there was a little discrepancy between me and the lady of the house because I was too hard on him and he needed to do it if he wanted to do it and all that bunch of junk. Okay. She would probably make a good husband. Amen. She's kind of bossy. Amen. So we argued on the way to church and we, you know, went all this. And by the way, if you're going to church, try to get it together, okay? Don't come down to church with a sour look on your face like you swallowed an apple or a pickle and it got hung. Just get things right with God. So we got to the church. The pastor's at the door welcoming the people as they come in. And Miss Glory goes by, hello, sweetheart. It's so good to see you this morning. Amen. The kids, one after the other. Dwayne came by, how your son, everything. You sure look good this morning. Steve, oh, what a blessing. Christine, amen, amen. He got to me and he said, what's wrong? And I said, why do you think they call the preacher a seer? Why do you need to be careful what you say in the front of the preacher? Okay, now as far as me, I would open up. Not then, but now, I would open up to the preacher to pray for you and ask God to help you. Okay, but what was it about that? He sensed that there was something wrong in our family. Something was not altogether right. And the boy did sing the song, and it was a mess. It was a mess. And it was the reason that we did it because Daddy said so. Now, with that being said, there were things in our home that when Daddy said so, that was the end of it. There was no argument. The only one that disagreed with me was Miss Gloria. But that's the way it was. Now, why is that? Because I am responsible. Now, in this same text back here that we talked about a minute ago, the Spirit of God told Abraham that he was going to have a son. You remember how special that is? Told Abraham he's going to have a son, and Sarah laughed. Now, we might disagree with that or say Sarah was not too spiritual or whatever, but she was 70 years old at the time, or 75 years old at the time, and she knew she couldn't have a child. But God said, and Miss Jane, this is where this comes from, he asked, is there anything too hard for the Lord? When you pray, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And so she laughed when he said she was going to have a child next year at this time. And immediately, I believe the Lord himself turned to Abraham and said, why did she laugh? Why did she laugh? So that tells me that he is still responsible. He is still responsible for his family, for his wife and his children. Amen. Now, you can like that or not like it. Don't make any difference. But the key is in leadership. The key is in leadership. Over the years, we have tried to do our best as far as serving in the church and all that stuff like this. And it was because it was in my heart to lead my family in the right way, even though I didn't know what the right way was. Okay, so men, you don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to do a lot of this stuff to find out the right way. The right way is through the preaching of the Word of God and through the what the Bible teaches us, as you read on your personal self under that. But leadership is the key to all things. We have to give an account. We must give an account as to what we do down here. What's wrong with our young people today? Most of them do not know what a family altar is. How many of us know what a family altar is? Does anybody? You don't have to say nothing. You can just family altar. You know what a family altar is. It is a family getting together around this old book and reading some verses and ultimately, finally praying and asking God to bless those words to our own heart, seal these truths to your heart before you leave here this morning, so that God will be able to bring this to your attention again later on, so that you can comprehend what God wants you to do in this life. Does God still speak to people? Yes, He does. He does it through His Word. And if you will adhere to what He tells you, He'll say more to you. But as long as you're comfortable with where you are, that's where you'll be from now on. So the leadership belongs to the fathers, okay? He's to lead out. Now, when I came to this church, there were six or eight ladies. A couple of them still here today. I don't know that there was... Brother Richard came good while later. The only one that I could think of is Anderson Van Dyke was the only man that was in this church at the time we came. And he tried to do the best he could with what he had, but, you know, he's outnumbered by the women bad. When we came here, we had trouble with some of the women. But I'm going to tell you something. Some of the best people on the face of the earth is God's ladies. Every once in a while you hear the women's liberals say this, that, and the other, and all this. They're not talking for these godly ladies. Okay. Now, the news media, that don't go over good. Now, Ms. Jacqueline went to church this morning, and she is 70-year-old or whatever. Amen. That don't make the news. No, they don't give a rip what happens to her. The health care system in our country today is not about the health of the elderly. It's about the young people and what they have to do to pay for the elderly, to take care of them. And you are responsible for that. Amen. We don't like it. We've done things in our church according to the scriptures that don't make sense. I told the tax man the other day, we have a little house out here. We have a widow living in that house who's been in this church all these years. We take care of her. Our church takes care of her. We're going to do the best we can. And if we're not coming up to what we should, Ms. Jacqueline, why don't you squeal like a pig? Amen. Now, she shouldn't have to do that. We have plenty of men in our church who can take care of that kind of stuff. I feel sorry for Willie. Anything happens, they call Willie. Zelma said the other day, I know another widow down the road needs somebody to do some stuff for her. Amen. That ain't right. The woman's never been right. But God used this church out of the handful of ladies that God brought to this place who loved Jesus. And I believe when I came here, they believed that I was sent here by the Holy Ghost of God. And they just followed that leadership. And God's done great things in our midst. We may forget about that stuff, but God's done some great things in this place. And I'm thankful for that. But the responsibility is to leadership. We can accept that or not. Now, let me reiterate a few things, okay? A lot of these churches do not believe this whatsoever, and they're good brethren, and they're good. They haven't been taught correctly according to the scriptures, all right? But I believe God sends a man to a church to administrate over that church. In other words, he's the leader of that church, like a husband is to the wife. He is the leader of leadership of that church. He is not to do all of the work, but he is to administrate the work that goes on in that church. We have men that are willing to do all kinds of things out here at the church. Brother Patrick said, what do you want to do here, Brother Billy? And I said, well, what do you think? And he said, well, whatever you want to do, we'll do it. Now, what I want to do is get us all together, get the best scenario, and then do it. That's what I want. But if I don't do it according to what you like, then do it the way I tell you. Why, you're a dictator, and I've been called that. That's okay. That's okay. I don't find anywhere in the scriptures, go back to Egypt's land and see what God did. He used a man, and he said to this man, now go down there and have a business meeting and see what the folks would like to do according to what they think. There's 2.5 million Jews down there that came through the Red Sea on dry ground. Can you imagine that business meeting? I can't even picture that. God didn't say, see what they think. He said, thus saith the Lord God. Now, when I get to the place that I'm going to tell you, you do this because that's the way I do it, then run me off. And please don't run me off. I'm too old now to try to start over. But you don't need my advice. You need my leadership in this book. And when I use this book, now some of you believe in other NIVs and you've eaten all that stuff. The Word of God is the King James Version of the Bible. You say, well, one of these days, yeah, one of these days we'll find out for sure. Most of these revisions come as a result of these people taking the King James Version and using it as their translation. It is not, these others are not translations. They take this and make it to say what they want it to say in another version of the Bible. And there's a huge number of these things. But the Word of God is very explicit. The Word of God tells us that we need leaders. We need leaders. We need leaders in the church that stand for something. And I said this, if we go long enough, Brother Al, this will happen. They will come after me. If I you can't talk about politics, brother, or divorce. Oh, yeah? Well, what's ravaging our nation? Divorce and politics. Should I not warn people? Should I not be like the old prophets and tell the people what's coming if this doesn't happen? But if they come after me, Brother Al, you make sure you're back from Alaska. You say, why? Because I want you to say to the men, now look, we got to get together. And we got to stand strong, Brother Billy's down there in the jailhouse. So Stephen, you take him food one day, and Willie, you take him food the next day, and Brother Pruitt, you be sure to bring the chicken pot pie. You say, why? Because Jesus said, remember this, when they hate you, remember they hated me before they hated you. We stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Period. Period. No add to, no take away from. You'll either go to heaven by the grace of God totally and completely, or you will not go to heaven no matter how good you think you are. And the devil will tell you every day, you're just a pretty good old boy. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, somebody came up, I think it's the first time in about a year that I preached a good message, amen. Somebody came up to me and said, wow, that was a good message. And I thought, well, yeah, you did pretty good, Billy boy. You know who told me that? The devil. You know who the devil is? He's a liar. If you got anything good out of it, it wasn't me that did it, it was God. I mean, he's the one that brought it to fruition. He's the one that made it alive and real to you. You can go to church and sit there and hear all of this junk you want to. Not junk. You can hear all the sermons you want to, and it won't mean a hill of beans. Isaiah said, you know what to do, now go do it. Some of you sitting in here this morning know what to do. You're just not doing what you know what to do. You need to do it and see God do great and mighty things in your midst. So the Father is the head of the worship. He is the head of the worship. It is my responsibility to teach my children, my wife, and everybody else involved in my family worship. Worship is what? How do you worship? Woohoo! Wee-hee! No, it's not worship. Okay? What's worship? It's the Bible, the Word of God, and allow it to soak in so that you can meditate on it, so that you can gain from it, and you will be woohoo! Amen? But woohoo! Don't start worship. That's not worship. Okay? Worship is adoring the Word of God. Listen to me, people. Job did not have the Word of God. He did not have this precious book. But you know what he said? Oh, that I had a pen that I could write down what God's done for me. God spoke literally to him and told him these things. When a man dies, will he live again? That was him. He didn't have the Bible. But he believed God. What do we need in our churches today? Believe God. This is not my word. It's God's word. Don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. These things are real. We're not hearing it preached. We're not living it in our churches. But I'm going to tell you something. It does not excuse you from what God tells you to do. So worship is in. Listen, Brother Carol, let me give you a good example of this. Brother Harold Clayton had a boy. That died in his late 20s, maybe 28, 29 years old. His name was Darryl. Darryl Clayton, Brother Harold Clayton and Miss Mary Ellen's youngest boy. And they had family altar in the bed with the kids all sitting around the edge and everything, and they would read some verses, ask the children what they thought, and then they'd have a prayer, and then they'd all go to bed. We did that. I followed that example from Brother Harold Clayton when he gave that example. And we would all get on our bed. We had Connie Chupik, Cheryl Simmons, I believe it is, the Van Dyke's girls. A lot of times they'd come to school down there where our kids went to school, and so they would stay sometimes with families in the church so they wouldn't have to drive back and forth, and they'd go to school the next day or two. And so a lot of times they would stay with us at our home. If I meet her at Home Depot, and she's there with the kids, and they're walking through there something and buying something, If we run into her at Home Depot or something like that, you know what's the first thing she's going to say? I remember those days in your bed when we read the scriptures. We pray. Now, this is a girl who was in early teens at the time. Oh, what a blessing it was to sit in the bed and hear God's word, and then we'd talk about it, and then we'd pray and go to bed. She said, that's sustained me all these years. Now, that's what she said. Is that right, Gloria? That's what she said. That's what she told us. And almost every time we see that girl, she tells us the same thing. Now, she thanks us. Amen? That was something that we did like we ate breakfast. It wasn't no big thing. We weren't trying to move her or change her or nothing like this. But God's Word did that. Brother Harold Clayton gave this illustration. His youngest boy lived right by the airport. He'd go out and preach and come back. The boy would take him to the airport. And when his airplane come back in, he'd go pick him up and bring him home. One day he came in and his boy wasn't there to meet him. And he said, immediately, Brother Billy, I knew something was wrong, bad wrong. And so they went to this boy's house. And they couldn't get in the house. It was all locked up. So they went around the back and they looked through the sliding doors on the patio. And they had a little gap they could look in there. And there he laid on the bed with a hamburger on the end table and a Coke, and he had laid back on the bed, and he went out into eternity. Brother Harold said, what sustains me sometimes when you lose a kid like that is the fact that when he was 6 years old, at our family altar, sitting there at the edge of the bed, and we read the verses, and said his little legs were just a-kicking and everything, and he was just moving like a little six-year-old, couldn't sit still, and he was just... And Brother Harold looked over at him and said, Daryl. He said, Daryl, you want to say something, son? And he said, yes, sir, I do. Well, what do you want to say, son? He said, I love you and Mama 8. It's the biggest number he knew. Brother Harold said, I've gotten through many and many a trouble, Brother Billy, because I remembered. I could deal with his death because of 8. If you don't believe worship is necessary in our families, you will see a lot of hard days in your life as a Christian. Well, we don't have time. We'll make time. There's a saying out there, if you don't have time, then you're too busy. Because here's what Job said, Job chapter 14, verse 1. Life is a few days and full of troubles. It's hard to tell these young people, you can get through your troubles every once in a while, but there's still more to come. Still more to come. God warns us and tells us. And he says, there must be worship in your life. Fathers, you are the leader or the responsible party for the worship of your family. Fathers are the love. Let me make sure that everybody understands what I'm trying to say here is men know nothing about love. You want to know what love? Ask your wife. God made it that way. I watch Steve and Cheryl, and I watch how he tells her, Cheryl, we'll be talking on the phone, and he'll say, Cheryl, what is this here? What is that there? And I thought, good night alive. She loves him. Yesterday we was talking at the party. He was talking at the party, something about you and something that you like to do and your name. And we introduced ourselves. All of us introduced ourselves and get to know each other a little better. And when it come to Cheryl, Cheryl said, I'm Cheryl, how old did you say you were? I think she said she's pretty old. And anyhow, she said this, she said, and I love Steve. That's her goal. Steve said the same thing. The only thing is his love and her love is altogether different. And he truly does love her. No doubt about it. But it's different. And you can't change that because God made you that way. So quit trying to make the other like the other and all that stuff. Quit going through all that and accept each other for what you are. So the family must be taught to love. Amen. Love does not come natural. Take a little toy and put it between two six-month-old babies and see what happens. If they had a 45 gun, they'd kill one another over the toy. They have to be taught to love. Who's responsible for that, man? You are. You are. Now, that doesn't mean the woman shouldn't help her husband with that. That doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that God's going to say to Abraham, why did she laugh? You're responsible. The family experiences things, and this word love for the man is a complete respect. And there's not enough respect between husbands and wives this day. It's not enough respect. A man is different. I hate to tell young couples, he's not changing. Does he do better? Does he buy roses? Does he buy you candy? Does he do this? Does he do that? Well, he's trying. But the inner making of a man is different. And you're never going to accomplish your goal to change him like you. It's not going to happen. And by the way, man, it's not going to happen the other way either. The family learns important lessons from the father. That's where they come from. Used to always tickle me. We lived in Mesquite country big time. We still do. But down there in Milana, we lived in Mesquite country big time. Boys run around barefooted. They didn't even, during summer, they didn't have any shoes. They wouldn't run around barefooted. They'd get a big old mesquite thorn in their foot somewhere, and they'd come to the house, and immediately they'd go straight to their mother. Never stop at daddy. Man, I had a knife this long. I said, I'll get her out of there. They wanted no part of that. They wanted to get it out, but they wanted the love of God with it. Dwayne Allen, when he was 20-some-odd years old, at Christmas time, fellowship and everything, but he took his shoe off. He still had a mesquite thorn in his foot after all them years. And he was afraid that it was serious enough that Mama couldn't get it and I'd have to get it out. And he would not ask anybody about that thorn. We learn lessons from our experiences. I gave you an experience a while ago about us fishing. We are to teach each other, or the man is to teach through those experiences. And I could go on and on and on with the things like that happen like that. I taught a lesson one time about taking care of your responsibilities, your duties. I came in one night and I asked Dwayne about the calves and the cows. We had calves that sucked the cows, and then we milked and had buttered milk and all that stuff in our families. I know that's strange to people today, but we did that. Stephen was in control of the chickens. Had all the laying chickens. He had all the killing chickens. We raised killing chickens to eat, and we had laying hens for the eggs and to sell some, and then we had eggs. We're sitting at the table, and I'm getting a report. I'd been out of town. I'm getting a report. Dwayne gave his report. Stephen was awful quiet. He didn't say much. And I said, what about the chickens? He didn't say nothing. I said, Steve, did you get the eggs today, son? He forgot. He was playing. He forgot. I said, then get up from the table and go get the eggs. Well, it was late, dark. Dad, I said, go get the eggs. You don't eat. The chickens don't eat. The chickens don't take care of. You don't eat till they do. So he gets up. He comes back in a little while, and he was running like crazy, and he was, scared to death. What happened? What happened? He run his hand up under a chicken to get they were all in the roost. Run his hand up under a chicken to get the eggs out, and there was a chicken snake under there. And the chicken snake, he rubbed it on the chicken snake and come back to the house, and he was all, and of course Gloria jumped on me and all that stuff about me sending a poor little fella out there. But there's a responsibility of doing your job. He could have done it in the daylight, and that wouldn't have happened, but he had to wait till dark, and he had to learn the experience. So I took the shotgun out, and got the chicken off, and I shot the chicken snake through the nest and blowed the back of the chicken house out. But now we can laugh. It was fun. It was a good time. But I guarantee you, I don't ever remember Stephen wanting to go get the chicken eggs after dark anymore. Amen. By the way, an eagle come in the back of the chicken house now and got the eggs. And then a family prays together. It's sad when we have to go to this degree that there has to be a tragedy in your life before you really get serious about praying. When should you be serious about praying? When you get up in the morning. You know your loved ones will get on Highway 35 or Highway 281 or Highway 183 or somewhere out there. I passed a truck yesterday coming down. There was two lanes on either side, but the truck was in the center and I was in the center. And I passed that truck and I thought about our son. In a split second, that truck could have run over us or we could have pulled out in front of him and it would have been all over, just like it was for him. We need to pray. I pray for my children and my grandchildren every day. You said you don't. Yes, I do. I many times I'll pray for the family, the grandchildren and children. Sometimes I move by the Holy Ghost to call their names. And I go down through the list and pray for my grandchildren. You say, why? They're all I got. I live on a farm. It's beautiful. I love it. I've got cows. Amen. In the years past, in the summertime, worst time of the year in the church, when we didn't have any offerings, there was no money to give the pastor. I got to pay the electric bill like y'all do. Amen. But God supplied, Stephen, through my efforts down here on the farm. Thank God for that. I pray for the hinds to calf. Amen. It's in the Bible. Pray God's word to him. Shout like he's hard of hearing. See, I know some of y'all, this is strange stuff to you, but it's true. Talk to God all the time. Talk to him all the time. Did you know that a lot of Christians never say amen? You say why? Because they ain't through. Amen means that's the end of it. No, no. If you talk to God all day long, every day, you don't have to say amen. And he's always open to you. If you confess your sin, he'll hear your prayer. How little, how big makes him no difference. Is God able to do it? Well, sure he is. If he ain't, quit praying to him. Amen. Y'all smile every once in a while. A family that prays should come from the Father. Now I'm telling you, at the old age, I'm telling you what works. Prayer works. Prayer works. You know I get aggravated sometimes. I know y'all probably don't know that. I get aggravated that people send word out here to Victory Baptist Church to pray for somebody else in another area. Why do they do that? Why don't they call their church? Why don't they call their evangelist? Why don't they call... But people send word out here, Brother Larry, for our church to pray for. We don't even know a lot of these people. You know why that happens? They have heard about success of prayer at Victory Baptist Church. We've had people, the doctor said, you're going to live 6 months, and they live 6 years. What happened? Prayer. The greatest thing in the most powerful thing going on in the world today is what? Prayer. Pray for people. God answers prayer. You know somebody needs to be born again. Pray for them. Don't get off your knees till they get saved. God will bless another soul into eternity because you ask him to. Amen. Now, I know that they have to make the decision, but he can send the hornets. You know that. The Bible says he sends the hornets to change their mind, change their thinking. Amen. Praise God. Some of y'all get this after a while. It'll be good for you. And then the family plans. Plans. The other day I made a statement that's in my heart to build 2 bedrooms on the back of the parsonage over there because there's already a slab there. Brother Lewis said, hey, I got a whole garage full of 2x4s. I'll get you some 10 if you own it. I said, I know a guy who wants to give us the 10 already. What are we going to do with all that excess 10? I don't know. We'll just do something. God wants to do some things, but we need to have a vision. You know what the Bible says about people that had no vision? They perish. One day you'll come down this road, and we'll probably all be gone. Maybe the rapture. That'd suit me. This old building won't be here. It's because people lose their vision. Do you know where the vision normally comes from. Now watch me. Don't go away from this place and say Brother Billy exalted himself. Listen, I'm the shortest guy on the totem pole here. But you know where a vision comes from? It comes from a man's desire out of the Word of God to see something happen for the glory of God in the midst of the people. And where there is no vision, the people perish. Amen. We need to see that there must be planning in our life. And men, I hate to keep saying this, some of you have already got kind of sour stomach. We need to plan for what God wants to do. And God will bring it to pass. Let me ask you something. Do you have a problem with some particular thing in your life, some difficulty in your life, and you've dealt with it, and you've dealt with it, and you've dealt with it, and you can't get rid of it? I hear on TV all the time where these guys get on, and they said addiction is a disease. I heard a man say one time, I believe it is, he said, a woman sneezed on me the other day, and he said, I got her fat. Everything is somebody else's fault. Everybody's done you wrong. Everybody, no. Listen, if you have an addiction, you know how to get rid of it? Take it to God. Did you know that you can't get rid of it on your own? But you can will it. You can will it to God. And God will bring it to pass. Now you say, Brother Billy, you're dreaming. No, I'm not. You having a problem with something? Take it to God. Ask your brethren and your sisters, ask your pastor, ask your church to pray for you about certain things in your life, and God can take it away. And He will take it away. Thank God for godly fathers. I said this the other day, I'm not exalting anybody because you are not to be exalted. He's to be exalted. But I said something about, let's talk about Miss Jacqueline. I said, if she has a need, I want some of you men to see that need and do something about it. Her yard was growed up. Her children ought to be down there cutting it, those that can. She got one sitting there. I don't think she should do it, but I'm just saying there's people that could do it. There's grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Amen! Take care of Grandma. She took care of you. She's still taking care of grandchildren, great-grandchildren. I said, if she has some kind of need, I want you men to see it, and I want you to do something about it. Don't come ask the preacher. I mow her grass. She won't pay me. First time I had anybody offer to pay me for anything. Amen. I wouldn't take it. So Brother Witt heard me say about widows. I might have got this wrong, Brother Witt. If I did, you correct me. But he rode his lawnmower down here and mowed her grass. That's right, he did. You need to say why? Because he... watch me, applied what he heard. And I got it out of the scripture, Brother Witt. I didn't dream it up. But he applied it. Now let me ask you something. Wonder what God is going to do for Brother Witt down the road. Wonder what kind of reward he'll have. Because he was obedient to the scriptures. Fathers, you need to back the preacher. You need to support your church. You need to do whatever God leads you to do concerning His will. Sarah laughed. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Now I'm going to close with this and say to you, everything starts and ends with the Christian father. It's just the way it is. Now I'm not saying that Jesus is not the start and the end of everything. I'm saying God has chosen us to be responsible for everything. Would you stand with me, please? And I want to say again how appreciative I am.